Looking at the book of Proverbs, and as a little summary of kind of the journey that we've started, the journey that we're on. I want to start this morning because I know many of you will have heard of the American preacher Billy Graham. He's acknowledged as the world's greatest evangelist in that he's preached the good news, he's preached the gospel in person to more people than anyone else in history. It's estimated that over 3 million people have responded at his crusades, have gone forward to accept Jesus as their saviour. He's retired now. He's well on in years. But I've always been struck by one thing about him, well, many things about him. One thing particularly struck me was he had a daily habit. Whilst he was active in preaching, he had a daily habit. And this was his habit, that every day he would get out his Bible and as well as read through different aspects of the Bible, every day he would read through five of the Psalms, five chapters of Psalms, and he would read through one chapter of Proverbs. So on a continuous basis, as well as reading all the stuff he did in the Bible, other things he was reading, he had a habit, a pattern. And his pattern was five Psalms a day and one proverb a day, one chapter of Proverbs a day. Now, a bit of maths, there's 31 Proverbs and 150 Psalms, so you can work it out. Every month, that means he went through the whole of the Psalms and the whole of the book of Proverbs. So that was his pattern. Keep going over and over and over, the Psalms over and over and over, the Proverbs. When he was interviewed and asked why about this, why do you go through the Psalms and the Proverbs again and again and again? Interesting thing he said. He said he went through the Psalms because the Psalms helped him connect with God. That the Psalms are often prayers, they're often ways of expressing a relationship with God, whether that's good times or bad times. That he used the Psalms as a way of connecting with God. And then Proverbs, the reason that he went through Proverbs again and again and again was that Proverbs helped him connect with mankind, with humankind. That actually Psalms was a connecting to God and Proverbs was a connecting in his relationships with people. And so Psalms was God's view of a relationship with him, whereas Proverbs was God's view of a relationship one to another. And for seasons of my life, I've copied Billy Graham. Partly, I've read through Psalms, although not five a day, but I've read through chapters of Proverbs every day for a month. And I felt at the beginning of the year that actually the book of Proverbs is going to be significant for us as a church in this year of 2012. So we started a journey into the book of Proverbs. And so far we've found it's a remarkable portion of scripture that practically helps us with God's path for our lives. Proverbs describes itself as a manual for living. It's God's manual of how can I live in a way that pleases God in the practical aspects of my life? How can I live in such a way that I would please God? And the book of Proverbs is not about life in church. It's not about church life. In fact, as we read Proverbs, we find ourselves in the home. We find ourselves on the job. We find ourselves with friends, with family, with daily matters of life. In the book of Proverbs, we see two paths described. We can walk down one of two paths in our lives, in the practical things of life. We can either walk down God's path, which is called the path of the wise, God's purposes, God's plans, God's way of living, or I can walk down my path, the way I feel best, the thing that seems right to me, and that's described as the path of the foolish. Not kind of intellectually foolish, but morally, spiritually foolish. And so we've seen the importance of which path we choose, because they end up in different destinations. And the punchline of Proverbs in Proverbs 5:14 is that if we walk down the path of the foolish, we end up at the end of our life saying this, my life is ruined, I haven't one blessed thing to show for my life. That's the destination of the path of the foolish. But the destination of the path of the wise is one of fruitfulness and one of blessing and effective living. Last time we looked at how to get on this right path, these two paths. How do we get on God's path? And we saw that the beginning of God's path was an understanding. What does it mean to respect God? What does it mean to fear him with a right sense of fear? Proverbs 9:10, that's a number of times in Proverbs we see this expression. It says, the fear of the Lord, a deep respect for God, an awe of him, a respect of him. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of this path. It's the way we get through the gate to get on this path of what it means to go God's way. Today we're going to look at what is this path? What is this path of the wise, God's path, this path of this wisdom, what actually is it made from? We're going to look at today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you've given us scripture. Thank you that you've breathed out, inspired these people to write down for us your very words. And Lord, would you help us today to understand? Would you help us today to have a heart that is soft before you? Holy Spirit, would you move amongst us? Would you help us that we would hear you speak freshly, powerfully into every heart? Lord, help us today. We look to you. Jesus, speak to every person, I pray. Amen. A number of years ago, I walked down the road here to Euston and went to the Red Cross Training Centre to be trained in first aid. It's just down near Euston Station. It was the one-day course they do on first aid at work. As you'd expect from the location in Euston, most of the people on the course were well-dressed office types. And it's fair to say they wasn't a very motivated group. I think that they'd been sent on the course by a manager who'd said, we need to get more people trained in first aid. You can go on the course. And so I was mixed with this group of people. And there we were going on this one-day course, learning about first aid. To be a registered first aider, I could have a badge. I got a badge at the end of the course and a certificate. But my abiding memory of the course was it was all a little bit embarrassing. We seemed to spend time rolling around on the floor, trying to move strangers into positions with arms, bodies rolling all over the place. The abiding kind of teaching that I remember from the course was that whatever was going wrong, we went through different scenarios. This goes wrong. You meet this situation. This problem occurs. The answer to everything was keep calm. Keep calm, number one. Secondly, call for help. And that was it. So I went on a one-day course, and with my badge, I can now keep calm and I can call for help. Actually, things got a bit more interesting after lunch on the course. After lunch, we got to try CPR on a dummy. So they gave us this dummy that had a pretend heart in. And the idea was this dummy had just collapsed. You jump on top of this dummy and you start kissing the dummy and pounding on its chest. Good news. The good news is the latest recommendations from the British Heart Foundation is no kissing, okay? Kiss of life is out. Instead, the latest advice is what you need to do is thump the chest, is compress the chest, repeatedly press on the chest. Because to get the heart going, if someone's collapsed, they've got no heartbeat, the importance is to get their heart beating. No heartbeat, no life. The heart was responsible for pushing the blood around my body. It's the center of natural life. We recognize the centrality of the heart in everyday expressions. You've heard people say, we're going to get to the heart of the matter, meaning find out what the key issues are. Or people say, I feel something from the bottom of my heart, as though it's the center of their being, the center of their person, who they are. Now, both expressions use the heart as a metaphor, something not physical, but something inside, something internal. And this morning we're going to look at the heart in the book of Proverbs, because the word heart, used in the Bible 720 times in this metaphorical way, in this sense of something on the inside, not physically. And I want to show you this morning that two paths, these two paths that are described in Proverbs, the path of the wise and the path of the foolish, that actually they're paths of the heart. What are these paths made of? These paths actually are paths for our hearts. They're paths for our hearts to walk down before our feet walk down them. Now, obviously, as my heart walks down these paths, Proverbs is full of the practical outworking of that. What does that mean for how I live and what I do? But actually, it starts with our hearts rather than our feet. And the reason given us in Proverbs is that the key issue that affects the whole of my life, affects every area of my life, there's one issue that affects every area of my life, is the state of my heart. I might be concerned with many things, my circumstances, my health, my money, where I live, my family, my future. They're all important, good to be concerned. But according to Proverbs, there's a central issue. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says this. Proverbs 4, 23 says, above all else, above all else, guard your heart. Okay, it's the heart. Above everything else in your life, There's an issue, and the issue is your heart. It says this, for it is the wellspring of life. Something flows from the heart that affects the whole of your life. And so above all else, the key issue, the number one issue, according to the book of Proverbs, is the state of my heart. The Bible describes the heart as the inner person. My heart is my inner life, my spiritual life, my moral life, the me that lives in this physical body. And we look in Proverbs 27:19, and it tells us something very interesting, because it gives us a metaphor, an analogy. And it says here, as water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. In other words, if I look into a pool of still water, I can see what I look like. It like reflects who I am, and I can see, and people can see me. Actually, a person's heart actually reflects their inner life. What's happening inside them? What's happening inside their inner heart? And so the heart reflects what's happening in my mind, my will, my thinking, my emotions. You know, God's made us very complex people. Constituted, we've got spirit, we've got soul, we've got body. They're knitted together. We're complicated. The scripture shows us how complicated we are. We're knit together in this interdependent way. And we can't really just simply say there's my body there, my spirit there, my soul there, as though they're different kind of compartments. But actually, God has built me together to be a whole. But the Bible picture of a person is holistic. I'm not split down into these little bits, fragmented. But where the Bible does portray us as made up of parts, we see most often there's an outer part and an inner part. And the inner part, the heart, reflects the real me. What's going on in the inside? So sometimes I've tried to explain to my children about thinking about who I am, what am I? I thought, if by some tragic accident I lost a leg, I lost an arm, then it would still be me. A part of my body wouldn't be there, but I'd still be here. It's me living in this body. The Apostle Paul uses this analogy in 2 Corinthians 5, because he calls our body a tent. And he was talking about carroty wood. And I must be honest, I'm not much of a camper. God bless you, those that are going camping, carroty wood. I've done my time, I've done my years, I've got the certificate, okay? But I've never really taken to camping. I think it all went wrong. When I was 17, myself and a school friend, we decided to do a camping walking trip in the Yorkshire Dales. Beautiful during the summer. I think we just finished my A-levels. Me and this guy said, let's go and do some walking. Got a tent, got a sleeping bag, got a Calagas stove, and we headed off. First night, we found a field and set up the tent. As we were setting up the tent, a big cloud of midges descended on me. For some reason, Barbara's very glad about this, but I'm her decoy. That whenever anything bitey goes for me, leaves her alone. And on this day, this cloud of midges descended on me and just absolute made it miserable, miserable that evening. As they bit. I tried to lie on the floor at night time, but it was on a stony, hard, rocky floor. No sleep. Hopeless, hopeless, hopeless. Got up in the morning, thought breakfast time. Got the Calagas stove out. Got those instant meals that was bacon and eggs, and it was a yellow powder. You heat up water, you stir in the hot water, and it was bacon and eggs. Of course, it's a yellow goo. It was totally inedible. I said, that is it. I've had it. So my camping walking holiday, we went bed and breakfast for the rest of that week. It's no way. I'm never doing that again. Learned my lesson at 17. But even if I'm offending you this morning, you think, actually, I quite like camping. I quite like the freedom of putting the tent on the back and going. That actually, the thing about a tent is a temporary place to live. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, he says this. He talks about us, our body, being like an earthly tent. So he uses analogy. He says, just as you go and live temporarily in a tent, none of us here live permanently in a tent. If you do go on holiday in a tent, you temporarily live in a tent. He says, you are living temporary in your body. He wanted us to understand that our bodies are wasting away. That there comes a point where we're going to leave our bodies behind and we're going to go and get a glorious, permanent resurrection body, somewhere to live permanently. This is temporary. What you're looking at this morning is temporary. It's a tent. Paul wants us to see that the me lives in a tent, this tent, and it's a temporary measure. But the important thing is that I am living, it's me on the inside. And my heart, it's helpful to understand my heart because my heart reflects what's going on the inside. On the outside here, you can see me, but what you can't do is see inside. But my heart reflects what's going on in the inner person, and in you, for you as well. Now, the thing about the heart in Proverbs is the reason why the heart is so important is the heart is important to God. In Proverbs 17, verse 3, it says the Lord tests the heart. In Proverbs 21, 2, it says the Lord weighs the heart. 1 Samuel 6, 16, 7, it says the Lord, the people look on the outside, but the Lord looks upon the heart. In Acts 1, 22, there it says, Lord, you know everyone's heart. So we get this picture of God testing our hearts, weighing our hearts, knowing what's in our hearts, looking down on the inside. So where you and I see each other on the outside, God's view, he's up there, he looks right down on the inside and he sees my heart. He sees what's in my heart, what's going on inside my heart. Proverbs tells us much about the heart. It's full of stuff about the heart. But there's something that's a key message in Proverbs. A heart can be in either a good state or it can be in a bad state. And if a heart is in a bad state, then it can be arrogant. In Proverbs 15:12, a heart that spurns correction. It can be sick. Proverbs 13:12. In Proverbs 14:10, it can know its own bitterness. In Proverbs 14:13, a heart can ache. Proverbs 25:20, it can be a heavy heart. Proverbs 26:23, it can be an evil heart. 26:24, it can harbor deceit. 16:5, it can be proud. And even in Proverbs 19:3, a heart can rage against the Lord. So this is a skip. This is a kind of a flash through Proverbs, just seeing that what can be in a heart can be not good. What can up a heart can be very bad. What can be inside a heart can be a whole series of not good things. And that's just Proverbs being honest. The great thing about Proverbs, it doesn't pull any punches. It says this is how it is. And a heart can be in this state. A heart can be in a very bad state. The problem is that, as we saw from Proverbs 4:23, that what's in the heart doesn't just stay there. What's in the heart comes out. And what's in the heart comes out and affects my life. And what's in my heart comes out and affects those around me. As it says in Proverbs 4:23, the heart is the wellspring of life. In fact, Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 12:34. Jesus said, the overflow of the heart, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what comes out of my mouth and affects other people, actually, the origin of it, it comes from my heart. It's kind of bubbled up, percolated up, and comes out. It flows from my inner life, through all aspects of my life, touches all aspects of my life and aspects of people around me. So if what's in my heart is not good, what flows out isn't going to be very good either. When Barbara and I went on our honeymoon years and years ago, one of the places we visited was Nepal, went in the Himalayas. And we started this walk. It was quite a long walk in the Himalayas. And we started off in a place called Trisuli. And in Trisuli, there's a river called the Trisuli River that runs up from somewhere very warm where the river ends at the bottom, right up into the Himalayas. And so part of our walk was a trek following the Trisuli River up to near its source. So we started off, it was very hot. It was beautiful, lush countryside. As we got higher and higher and higher, got colder and colder as you got further up into the mountains and as you got into the woods of snow. I remember one of the things that the water was for the river was a source for everything. All the villages along the way, they got the water to drink, they got the water to wash their clothes, they got the water to the fields. Everything came from that river. Once Barbara and I were washing our hair, I had hair then, it was total freezing glacial water, numb your head. As Barbara washed her hair, as she combed it out, ice crystals formed in her hair. It was so cold, that water. It looked so pure and so lovely. And as we went up to near the top, we got to the very top of that river, and at the very top was a copper mine. And at the copper mine, there were copper miners, and there was a bit of an encampment there where they lived, and we camped there. And there they had built some toilets. Those toilets were wooden shacks, and they were wooden shacks perched over the river. So their toilets emptied into the river. So all that water that had flown down that looked so luscious and clean and pure and sparkly and ice crystals in the hair, the whole lot. Yeah. And that we had drank. But that the important thing was every day that water was boiled. It was boiled for 10 minutes to make sure that what was in it didn't come into us, so to speak. But the thing was that one day, I was given water drink that hadn't been boiled. And I got sick. I was sick for 2 years. I was ill for 2 years as a result of one drink of river water from the pool. Because what's in it, although you couldn't see it, actually there was something that wasn't good. There was something going into that river that was flowing down, actually was polluting it. So someone like me with a, you know, English dicky little tummy couldn't cope with it. I couldn't cope with it. And the thing about a river is from the source, if what flows of it is good, it's great. But if what flows from the source is not good, what flows down is going to affect all the things downstream. And so if my heart is bad, what flows out of my heart is going to affect all aspects of my life. And not just all aspects of my life, all aspects of the lives of people around me. As what flows from my, Jesus said, flows out of my mouth. And affects the things that I do. So the state of my heart is very, very important. In fact, it tells us in Proverbs, very graphically, in Proverbs 6:14, it says, if there's deceit in my heart, that deceit will flow out and cause dissension, cause arguments. It says, if in my heart there's wickedness, then evil schemes will come out. In Proverbs 6:18, a heart devises wicked schemes. If a heart is evil, then what flows out will be of little value. Out of a sinful heart, there's little that's of any good. And in Proverbs 12:23, it says, out of the heart of fools blurts out folly. If my heart is full of bad things, what comes out of my mouth is going to be of little consequence. It's going to do me little good, and it's going to do those people around me little good. See, what's in my heart comes out. And it comes out often through my mouth and through how I behave. It says here in Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a person down. If I've got in my heart anxiety, then it affects the whole of my physical body and what comes out of my mouth too. It says Proverbs 17:20, a man of perverse heart doesn't prosper. Talking about how if there's in my heart's not right, actually it has financial implications for my life. Jesus summarized all these things in Matthew 15:19. Jesus said this, he said to the Pharisees, out of the heart, see that's what Jesus saw right into the heart of those Pharisees. And they were bothered with the outward. The Pharisees were bothered with, have you tithed your cumin or not? And Jesus said, that's not important, it's not the outside. The issue isn't the tent, it's the heart, it's the inner life. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. All these flow from a heart that's not right with God, a heart that isn't reconciled with God. But from a heart that's been transformed by a saving encounter with God, what flows out of the heart can be wonderfully good. If the source is pure, then what flows down the river is good and clean. You know, I think it's very important as we look at Proverbs, that we look at Proverbs with New Testament understanding. If I just look at Proverbs and read it kind of as it comes, verse by verse, actually I can end up just trying to be a better person. Just taking the statements in Proverbs thinking, well, I want to be better, I want to be nicer, I don't want to do that, I want to do this. And it can actually just trying to be some kind of moral kind of change in my life. But actually understanding that the whole thing of becoming Christian is God has given me a new heart. The whole thing about what it means to be born again and regeneration and what God's done for me and in me is a theological thing. It's a position of what I am in Christ, but it's an experience of what God has done in my heart. We've got to keep that at the front of our minds. Otherwise, we're just going to get bogged down in thinking, I'm no good, and look at this proverb, so I should be like this. And it can be a very negative thing. But as a result of what Jesus has done in us and for us, this real different heart, this is the miracle. The miracle is that before Jesus coming to change my heart, I would be stuck having no choice because my inner life, my inner heart, what flows out was negative stuff. But as a result of what God has done for me on the cross and Jesus dying for me and what he's done as he's personally applied that to my life, I've had this experience. We've had this experience, if you're a Christian today, this experience of being born again, this experience of a new heart, this experience of something new on the inside. The inner has been changed. Something inside is different. I'm not what I was. October 1979, long time ago. October 1979, something happened in my room as I prayed and asked God to come into my life. I didn't feel any different because it was a heart thing deep in my heart. Something spiritual happened. You've experienced that too, where Jesus come and there's been something different. And so as we come to Proverbs, it's very important to see that actually God's done something in us, which means we're not locked into just having a certain heart state and saying, oh, that's just the way I am. That's just my heart. That's just me. Just who I am. Because actually God's done something free to set us free. Look what can flow from our heart now. In Proverbs 14:30, it says, a heart at peace gives life to the body. Isn't that wonderful? As a result of God coming, Jesus is our peace. As a result of he coming into our heart, what flows out of my heart is the peace of God. And that gives life to all my body. In Proverbs 16:23, it says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth. That as Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. And because Jesus living in your heart, living in my heart, as a result of Jesus being in us, what flows out means I can benefit people. You can benefit people. You can share things with people to bless them and encourage them. Remember we looked at a few verses back about the fool. It says, what comes out of his mouth is of no consequence. It's just rubbish. But the difference is having Jesus, the wisdom of God inside me. What can come out of my mouth is wisdom from God. In Proverbs 17:23, it says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. So with God's joy in my heart, with God's joy inside, what flows out, it's actually good for my whole body. It just does me good. Because of God's joy inside, in my heart, what flows from my heart then flows out into all aspects of my life. In Proverbs 15:28, it says, the heart of the righteous weighs its answer. When a heart is right with God, then the answers are balanced. The answers are wise. The answers can be from heaven. I can have God's perspective. I can understand wisdom. I can know the right thing to do as a result of having a heart that's right with God. See, because of what Jesus has done in your heart, the good news this morning is that you can direct your heart. This is the wonderful New Testament view looking back at Proverbs. Proverbs describes this is a heart in a bad state, this is a heart in a good state. But the wonderful thing is because of what Jesus has done in us, I can actually direct my heart to one path or the other. Look what Paul says in Colossians 3. Colossians 3 says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. So he's saying, because of what's happened, because of theologically what Jesus has done, positionally what's happened to you as Jesus died for you, because you've been raised with Christ, that when Jesus died, in some amazing way, a way that's so hard to comprehend, and yet when Jesus was raised from the dead, even though you weren't born, even though I wasn't born, somehow in Christ, we were raised with him to new life in God. And so as a result of what's happened, as a result of being born again, as a result of being in Christ, because of that, you can set your heart. And that's an amazing thing. What Paul's saying to these Colossians is, you don't just have to put up with what's flowing from your heart. If stuff's flowing from your heart that's not good, you don't just have to say, oh, well, that's me. That's how it is. that's how I've been. I've always had a problem with that particular thing. But actually, I can get hold of my heart and I can set my heart on spiritual things, on heavenly things, on godly things. And the fantastic thing about Proverbs is it gives us an example after example of what does that mean in practice? What does that look like? Paul's saying here a principle. He's saying, look, I want you to do something. Because of what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus has done in you, get hold of your heart, your inner life, and set it not on things down here, but on heavenly things, on spiritual things, on God's things. He's saying, you can do this. And Proverbs then unpacks that and says, what can you do? So let's look in Proverbs at some of the things that it says that we can do. We can choose to direct our hearts away from things that are bad and direct our hearts into things that are good. So in Proverbs 28:14, it says, he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. I can choose not to harden my heart. I can take my heart, if I feel it's getting hard, and I can say, God, I'm going to set my heart on things that are godly, on things that are above, on you and what you say. I can actually direct my inner life Godward towards him. It says in Proverbs 23:17, don't let your heart envy sinners. I can look around at people and think, well, this person here, that's good. That thing's good happening in their life. That thing's good happening in this person's life. Actually, I can choose not to let envy come in my heart. I can choose not to let envy come and dominate my heart. And if I feel that kind of flow of envy in my heart, I can get hold of my heart and I can set my heart on things above. It says in Proverbs 6:25, do not, this is talking about adultery. It says, don't lust in your heart after her beauty. It's talking about an adulterous relationship. So I've got a choice. I don't have to say, well, it's a sexual thing and it's powerful and it's in me and I just have to go with it. No, actually, because of what God's done in my heart, I can choose. I have a choice to set my heart on God's path, on things above, on heavenly things, on my eternal destiny, on what it means to walk in a godly way, in a good way. I can choose. But also Proverbs gives us some positive things to direct our hearts into. In Proverbs 2:2, it says, apply your heart to understanding, spiritual things. In fact, it says this about 8 times in Proverbs, the same idea again and again and again, to take hold of my heart and apply my heart to understanding wisdom, God's way, God's path. So I can get hold of scripture and I can put time and effort into understanding. God, with your help, God, with the help of your Holy Spirit, would you teach me? I can set my heart to learn scripture. I can set my heart to understand scripture. I can set my heart to get into scripture. Proverbs 3:1, it says, keep your heart, keep my commands in your heart. And I can put effort to, I can learn scripture, I can learn the Bible, I can learn passages of the Bible. I can set my heart on things above by learning scripture and getting inside. Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Again, because of what God has done in me, I can choose to trust, say, God, I'm choosing to trust you. I don't know about you, but I find occasions occur, sometimes many times a day, where I've got a choice. Am I going to trust God or am I just going to worry and just going to try and sort it out myself and try and fudge through this thing? And it seems like I've got these choices. I want to say this morning, I believe they're very real choices. And the real choice is, what am I going to do with my inner life? What am I going to do with my heart? Am I going to just fudge through and just do the best, or am I going to say, God, I'm choosing to set my mind on things above, my heart on things above. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you in a very practical way. Because if I set my heart a certain direction, it's a path my heart goes, and then I will continue down that path. Proverbs 23:26, it says here, give me your heart. And it's talking here about a personification of wisdom, but it's saying we can give our hearts to God. I can choose to say, God, there just seems to be in my heart so much stuff from before I was a Christian. There seems to be so much stuff crowding in on my life, stuff trying to pollute my heart, stuff that's trying to be negatively flowing into my heart. I can say, God, I give you my heart. I give you, God, today, afresh. I give my heart to you. Would you work these things powerfully inside me? And then finally, our real punchline for today is the Proverbs 4, verse 23 we started. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Because the devil is looking to pollute. Just as my story of the Trasuli River, it was polluted by what was put in it. The devil is looking to pollute my heart, to drop stuff in my heart. The world tries to pollute all the adverts that are around and what people say and actually are trying to put stuff in my heart that will pollute my heart. So what the writer of Proverbs here, what Solomon's saying is guard. Take very seriously these things. Watch over what goes into your hearts. Watch over what's feeding your heart. Watch over what stuff is going into your heart, your inner life. Watch over it. Guard it, because it's the wellspring that flows from your heart. Finally, that verse again in Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above. Not on, and it continues in the next verse. It says, also set your minds on things above. Two things it says there actually is set your hearts and set your minds on things above. I want to say, you know, this morning that I think actually this is really key. I think what I wanted to just do this morning is like an introduction to our hearts. Because I think that as we look through Proverbs, we're going to look at very specific practical areas of our lives. And it can become just like a list of these are good things to do and these are bad things not to do. And you can become quite religious, actually. But I want us to see this morning that the issue of all the Proverbs actually comes down to my heart. And it's not actually trying to fight the symptoms as the river's flowing down and stuff's happening down in my life, down there. Actually, it all comes back to what is going on in my heart. And so I want to urge us this morning to bring our hearts, as we've just been looking, bring our hearts to God, give our hearts to God. To reflect and to try and understand, particularly as we're approaching Easter over these next weeks. We've got opportunity to be focusing on the cross, focusing on what God has done for us in Christ, to really appreciate what does it mean, what has God done for me and in me, that my heart is different, that my heart is changed, that my heart isn't chained anymore, but my heart's been set free. So I have a choice. I feel God's got something very exciting for us. It's like realizing that no longer do I have to, my heart has to walk down a path which is a negative path. But actually realizing, God, you've done something in me which is liberating. You've done something in me which is so powerful. God, would you help me understand what does it mean to live with a heart that's free? With a heart that's choosing to set on things above, on eternal things rather than things around. Let's close our eyes. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Father, thank you for all that you've done in every heart here. Lord, would you please open the eyes of our understanding? Or as the Apostle Paul says, the eyes of our heart. Would you open the eyes of our heart that we could understand these things, that I could really grasp. God, I feel I want to grasp these things. There's something here which I believe is so key and so foundational, so important for us. Would you help us, Lord? Give us spiritual insight, spiritual revelation, Lord. Father, we want this morning to have open hearts to you. Thank you that we've read this morning, you test the heart, you weigh the heart, you know the heart, you look upon the heart. This morning, would you look down from heaven on my heart, on our hearts, Lord? Thank you for that miracle of salvation that you've wrought in our hearts, Lord. Lord, would you forgive us where our hearts have continued to walk down paths, as it were, that weren't good? Because, Lord, we want to say this morning, would you teach us your paths? Would you teach us that what it means to set our hearts on things above, on these things that are from heaven, heaven's priorities, heaven's paths, heaven ways, Lord. I just feel that for some of us today, that we've lived for maybe years thinking that's just part of my personality, that's just part of me, that's just how it is. When actually, God has done something foundational in your heart, in salvation, that if we only grasped it, if we only understood it, if we only could just see it, we'd realize that we have a choice. With God's help, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk a different path. Holy Spirit of revelation and wisdom, would you move among us this morning? Open our eyes, Lord, to see these things. I wonder if you'd be very brave this morning and pray a prayer asking God, would you come, look in my heart, see if there's anything in my heart that displeases you and you want to change and you want to come and put your hand on this morning. Let's just individually, personally, open our hearts as best we know how, as best we can to God, and say, God, look down, look in my heart today. Would you come and liberate and free? Would you come and touch and change? I feel that there's some that feel this morning bound by lust, by sexual lust. And actually, Jesus has come and died and given you a new heart. Something new from heaven has been deposited inside you. And that just realizing, just understanding, appreciating that you've been set free, been made new on the inside, that there's a new path to walk, and it's not a path of lust, it's a path of purity. Jesus. Jesus. I just get this sense of God opening up a path ahead for some of us. It's like, it looks like a path, and it's a path of purity. It's a path of what it means to walk in purity. And rather than being bogged down or tied down by guilt, shame, and sin and lust from in our hearts, that there's a new path. It's a path of purity, of what it means to walk with God free from these things. I feel for some of us, we feel like our hearts are tired and hardened over. Like we read in Proverbs about, don't allow your heart to be hardened. You say, oh, that's me. I feel my heart's become hardened over these years, over these months. Just this morning, best you know how, offer your heart to God. Say, God, would you soften? Would you soften with your love? Would you soften my heart again? That it could once again beat with warmth and love and tenderness and compassion. I also believe that there's some of us here this morning that have never experienced what it means to know Jesus in a personal way. And so there's something inside which just doesn't seem to want to change, can't change, just seems locked in. And this morning, just to really encourage you, would you open your heart, maybe for the first time, to God and say, God, would you give me a new heart? Jesus, would you come into my life, Lord Jesus, and give me a new heart that would walk with you, follow you, go your ways? One of the Proverbs we read, it says that in a heart, it's possible for a heart to rage against God, to be cross at God, miffed at God, angry with God, that God hasn't done what I wanted him to. And just for one or two of us here, you think, that's me, I've really got cross with God. I feel he's let me down in some way. And that's not a good state for our hearts. And God can't move us forward if I'm not going to repent of that and turn back to him. So I encourage you today, if there's any sense of that, you feel that's me, would you repent? Would you say, God, I confess that's me. I soften my heart fresh before you. Lord, today as your people, we set our hearts on things above. On heavenly things, eternal things, spiritual things, godly things. It'd be good this morning. We're going to pray just in twos, but nothing. I don't want to put anyone under any pressure or embarrassment. So don't feel you have to share anything with anyone else. But it's just good to see what we've been talking about today. And so if you just want to turn to the person either behind you, next to you, twos and threes, whatever, and just pray for them. Just say, God, would you please work in my brother's heart, my sister's heart? Would you please soften their heart? Would you please work in their heart? Would you please continue this miracle process in their heart, Lord?